Mystery solved. Mystery solved. Hey, welcome, Truth Seekers. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com. That's right, it is I, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, live and broadcasting for Mike Malloy from the Left Coast, the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150. It is spring break for the Malloys, so you will have me all week long. I hope that's okay. Delighted to be here with you. Please stop on by, if you like. Stop on by our chat room at bradblog.com, where I am. Did I already say I'm your friendly investigative citizen, journalist, blogger, troublemaker, and muckraker? That's me. Stop on by our chat room at bradblog.com, where For Earth and Dez are holding down the fort. We would love to see you there. Makes the program twice as lively. Mystery solved. Who knew if Barack Obama was going to run for a second term? Well, now we do. Mystery solved. Who knew? And, by the way, another mystery solved. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed will be tried in a military tribunal at Gitmo. This was announced today, on the same day that Barack Obama announced he'd be running again for president. So that means he has undone one of his very first promises on the day that he announced he was going to be running again. But who would notice? Okay, big show for you tonight. Our phone number throughout the evening, in case you want to jot it down to get in on any of the conversation, is 877-520-1150. That is 877-520-1150. You can also tweet me, if you will, on the Twitters. I am the Brad Blog over there, and I do my best to keep my eyes on that and the chat room throughout the night. Big show ahead tonight. Congressman Hank Johnson from Georgia's 4th District, the Fightin' 4th, will be joining us in this hour to talk about something that we had hit pretty hard last time I was guest hosting here for the Malloys back in February, when we learned about this $12 million U.S. chamber plot to defraud, to scam, to smear progressive journalists, organizations, people like, yes, yours truly, me, Brad Friedman, and my family, who were named in the documents that were being put together on behalf of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. I'll get to that in a little bit and reset that situation in advance of the congressman's visit here tonight, because it's an extraordinary story, much of which has been lost, understandably, over the past, what, month or two, since we've had new wars, a record 9.0 earthquake and tsunami, and nuclear catastrophe in Japan, everything that is going on in Wisconsin, where, by the way, there is an election tomorrow. We'll be keeping our eyes on that, of course. Election for the Supreme Court, which is said to be a bellwether for these upcoming recalls of the Republican senators in the U.S., I'm sorry, not in the U.S., but in the State House up there in Wisconsin. So far, it looks like signatures are in. They're still being verified, but signatures are in so far for two of those Republican senators who will be most likely recalled, or at least up for recall election. Tomorrow's election is between the Justice David Prosser, a big supporter of Governor Scott Walker's, and Joanne Klopp, I always screw up her name here. Kloppenberger? Do I get it right? Kloppenberg? See, should plan beforehand. I think it's Kloppenberg. Anyway, she is running against, where here? Kloppenberg. Yeah, I had it right. She's running against Prosser. Prosser thought to be, like I said, a supporter of, has said he is a supporter of Scott Walker's on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, while Kloppenberg promises to be fair and balanced, and make her decision based on the rule of law. Go figure. Right now, that court in Wisconsin has a 4-3 majority for the right-wingers, and that balance would change depending on the results of the election tomorrow. Could swing back in favor of things like, you know, justice and the rule of law and so forth. So we will be keeping our eyes on that election believe a lot of people watching this thing. This thing has been nationalized. An incredible amount of money is being spent on both sides, both by the grassroots Tea Party. Somehow they've been able to come up with something like $1.2 million to spend in TV buys and media buys on behalf of Prosser. And the labor unions, who are being attacked, assaulted, made illegal, their freedoms being taken away, they spent something like $900,000 on this bellwether election, this proxy election, which is likely to tell us which way Wisconsin may be headed, which way these recall elections that are going to come up in the next few months may be headed, and therefore which way 2012 may be headed, as we look and see whether these guys, these Republican governors who have come in state after state, Republican legislatures, and have committed what is being referred to as the great Republican overreach of 2011. I think it is, and I think it's coming back to haunt him here. But we'll see. There's also the matter of the election, the voting machines that they use in states around the country. That is always a wild card. Most of the votes being cast tomorrow, Tuesday, in Wisconsin will be on paper ballots. That's a good thing. Now we just have to fight to count them. All righty then. What else? Okay, so as I said, we've got Hank Johnson coming up. We've got a professor from Australia also a little bit later in the show with a really interesting story on sock puppetry. I'll leave it at that for now and tease you with that, and hope you will stick around to hear what that is all about, because it actually kind of plays into this U.S. chamber story, which I will get to presently, as soon as I see what other business I have here. Oh, yeah, by the way, folks who've been writing in, who enjoyed our April Fool's special edition last Friday of the Mike Malloy Show, glad you enjoyed it. Even gladder still that very few people were angry at me. Actually, only I think only one listener expressed their displeasure. Other than that, if you missed it, we do have it up at bradblog.com. If you're not a Malloy podcast subscriber, and by the way, if you're not, you should be, if you wish to support progressive radio over your public airwaves, because there ain't much of it out here. And folks like the Malloys and the other folks on the progressive side of the aisle are working like hell to stay on the air, and your support in that regard really is important. Signing up for a podcast subscription really does make a difference to voices like Malloy's and occasionally mine staying on the air. Okay, one of the things I've been buried in over the past 3 weeks has been obviously Fukushima Daiichi, the nuclear plant, for at least obvious to those folks who've been following at bradblog.com. Things have, we will call them stabilized, sort of kind of here for the moment. They the latest news is that they are planning, or they are in the process of now dumping 11.5 tons of quote-unquote low-level radiated water into the ocean to make room in the storage containers there for the higher-level radiated water coming out of Unit 2 at 100,000 times the legal levels. It's coming out through an 8-inch crack that is flooding into the ocean. They're trying to stop it still with sandbags. And using what turns out to, boy, oh boy, is it sounding a lot like the BP oil spill, man. Over the weekend, they were trying and failing to plug the leak in this crack in the wall, which is leaking out radioactive water into the ocean. I mean, using what really? I mean, this sounded like the BP thing. They were using this liquid polymer, a combination of a liquid polymer, sawdust, and newspaper to try to plug up this hole. Junk shot, anyone? It didn't work. So they're still fighting to plug that up. Of course, a few days ago, one of the nuclear safety officials in Japan came out and said, well, don't worry about it. The high radiation level is it's just in the 20-kilometer exclusion zone. So there's no fishing going on there. You don't have to worry about it. He was not clear whether or not he had informed the irradiated fish that they are not allowed to swim out of that 20-kilometer exclusion zone. Anyway, a big, big show straight ahead. A whole lot more. We'll see how much I get to. When we come back, I'll try to bring you back up to speed where we were on this U.S. Chamber of Commerce plot before Congressman Johnson joins us. More straight ahead. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Welcome back to the Malloyalists out there. Someone just used that word in the bradblog.com chat room. I kind of like it. By the way, 43 years ago today, Martin Luther King was killed in Memphis, Tennessee, fighting for the rights of workers down there. We'll have a bit of a tribute later on in the show. Hope you'll stick around for that. All right, we're going to be joined momentarily by Congressman Hank Johnson of Georgia's 4th District. To talk about just exactly what he has been able to do, or what he is trying to do, to get some accountability in the matter of this U.S. chamber plot, which is remarkable. If you have not read about it, for a while it was getting a lot of press until a lot of huge stories sort of blew up on us, so to speak. Last time I was here on the Mike Malloy Show back in February, I found out about it while I was going on air, actually. While I was on air, actually. On Thursday night, as I was hosting, I had found out that emails, 70,000 emails from this government contractor security intelligence data company called HB Gary Federal, 70,000 emails of the CEOs had been released onto the Internet by Anonymous, the hacktivist collective that sort of got into a fight with this fella. Aaron Barr is his name. And so they were able to hack his website. Remember, this is a cybersecurity firm, right, contracted by the government in the war on terror. They were able to hack his firm, his email servers, his web servers, deface them, deface his Twitter accounts, take over the whole damn thing in seconds. And when they placed his email online, what was in that email? Well, a plan that was being devised by HB Gary, the company, along with two other technology firms, cybersecurity firms, Palantir Technologies and Barracode Technologies. They were working together, the three of them, and calling themselves Team Themis. And they were working to devise a plot on behalf of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's attorneys, big law firm by the name of Hunton and Williams, to put together this plot for the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And as we learned on that Thursday night as I was going to air, that this plot was going to put out fraudulent documents, was going to attempt to smear progressive organizations with these documents, with fake personas, sock puppets. They were going to hack into the organizations, the servers, the people who ran these organizations, journalists, and so forth, who the U.S. Chamber of Commerce perceived as enemies. And one of the organizations that they were targeting was one called VelvetRevolution.us. That happens to be an organization co-founded by the Brad Blog. That's right, yours truly. We founded that organization as a political advocacy group and began a campaign about a year or so ago over there called StopTheChamber.com, meant to expose the mafia-like tactics, frankly, of this U.S. chamber and the extent that they were willing to go, the extremist extent that they were willing to go on behalf of the right-wing agenda out there. The Chamber of Commerce is the largest lobbying group, political action group, really, in the world. And they are now extremely far right, and Stop the Chamber was meant to expose them. So we knew that they were planning to target Velvet Revolution. And then the next day, while on air on Friday, right here on the Mike Malloy Show, I had heard from the folks at Think Progress who were going through all of these emails. And they said, "Hey, Brad, just want to let you know, give you a heads up, you and your family have been named in these documents, have been targeted, personal information on you and, like I say, your family, who some of whom have absolutely nothing to do with any of the work that I do. We were being targeted. My family was referred to as pressure points, apparently to be used against me. So this was the insidious plot that was being put together, a $12 million plot. $2 million a month was going to go to H.B. Gary, Palantir, and Barrico, these guys calling themselves Team Themis, to do these insidious attacks on people like me. Also people like Glenn Greenwald, by the way, on behalf of Bank of America. A very similar plot, almost parallel plot, with the same players, but on behalf of Bank of America instead of U.S. Chamber. Reportedly. This is the situation that was unwinding, that continues to unwind. Now, mind you, the Republicans in the U.S. House, they now run the joint, and they are the benefactors of beneficiaries of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's money. In 2010, the U.S. Chamber spent more money than anyone else on elections, and 97% of it went to Republican candidates. So are they going to do anything about it? Seems unlikely. Is the Department of Justice going to do anything about it? Well, as part of this scheme, we learned that the DOJ had actually recommended this group of folks to Bank of America. So they, too, are compromised. Who will do anything about any of this to bring accountability for these plans to spy, to smear, to hack? It's an extraordinary plot. So who will bring some accountability? Perhaps my next guest, Hank Johnson, congressman from Georgia. He has been trying to. He has asked the Republicans in the Judiciary Committee to hold hearings. They have refused. He is now trying to get some accountability from the DOJ and the Department of Defense and the Department of Homeland Security. He will tell us about that when he joins us right after this break. You're listening to Brad Friedman on The Mike Malloy Show. Maybe about as close as we ever get throwing any of these punks in jail. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com here for Mike Malloy. We'll be speaking hopefully momentarily here with Congressman Hank Johnson. He's at an event, and we're told he'll be calling in shortly to talk about, once again, this U.S. Chamber plot, this $12 million plot for which there has yet to be any accountability. Three cybersecurity firms, all government contractors, who developed these tools, these software devices, schemes, plans that they were going to use on U.S. citizens, including yours truly, me and my family, were targets of this plot. And I wrote about this at BradBlog. You can go look up U.S. Chamber, and they had put together, they were putting together this scheme when it was outed by Anonymous. And by the way, Anonymous, thank you. Thank you for doing so. But they were planning to use tools that were developed for the war on terror, that these three government contracting groups, H.B. Gary, Palantir, and Barrico, had developed to track terrorists. And one of the emails said, 70,000 of these emails were released. One of the emails, talked about the fact that the chamber was impressed by Palantir's demonstration that they had put together, their video demonstration that they had put together to go after terrorists trying to sneak explosives into and out of Iran. And they had put together this video showing how they had developed tools to take these networks out there, all of these invisible people, if you will, out there on the web, and to be able to see them. And that is what the U.S. Chamber was interested in when they went to these three companies to put together this $12 million plot. They were interested in using those tools to come after folks like, yes, me. And there's a picture of me in their PowerPoint presentation that these companies, these three companies, were working with Hunton and Williams, the law firm, one of the biggest law firms in the country, to present to the U.S. Chamber to close this deal just days. Their meeting was to be, I think it was February 14th, Valentine's Day. Lovely. And about a week or so before that, that is when Anonymous happened to disclose their emails. And when, by the way, when they released those emails, Anonymous had no idea what was in them. They were going after this H.B. Gary company because they were ticked off at them because the CEO of H.B. Gary had threatened to reveal the names of the people who make up Anonymous. And Anonymous told them, hey, you got the wrong names. You're going to reveal the names of innocent people. And, of course, instead what happened was the names of people like me and my family and personal information about us was revealed as Think Progress, as Lee Fong over at Think Progress found out and reported. And, of course, we've been reporting it as well at the Brad blog. Well, a few days ago, and as I say, we'll jump in with the congressman as soon as he gets here, but a few days ago, Lee Fong of Think Progress was at an event with Richard Clark, who served as the terrorism czar, terror czar, whatever they call them, under both Democratic and Republican presidents. He also served for a while as the cybersecurity czar for the Bush administration. And Lee Fong had asked him about this plot, this $12 million plot, in which they were going after, perceived enemies of the U.S. chamber. Not just Velvet Revolution's StopTheChamber.com campaign, but also SEIU had put together a campaign called the U.S. Chamber Watch. So they were going after SEIU, trade unions, of course, and other left-of-center think tanks here in America, as Lee Fong put it in his question that he asked to Richard Clark, the former cybersecurity terrorism czar for the Bush administration. He said, he explained what was going on and how they were going to use these firms were going to use sock puppets to try to infiltrate the groups, to try to discredit us, to put out forged documents. Here's part of Lee Fong's question, and here is what Richard Clark said in response. I'm sorry, caught you off guard there, Tony. Here we go. Now we've got it.
What do you think about that type of threat from a lobbyist or a corporation targeting political enemies or perceived enemies here in the U.S.?
I think it's a violation of NUSC. I think it's a felony, and I think they should go to jail.
Richard Clark says he thinks it's a violation of 10 U.S.C. He thinks it's a felony. He thinks they should go to jail. He furthermore said that it's fine with them if the U.S. Chamber wants to try and hack, use cyber attacks on U.S. citizens. He says that's fine with me because the FBI will be on their doorstep in a matter of hours. I'm not quite so sure that they will because, as I said before the break, the DOJ seems to be somewhat compromised here, having referred these very same security firms who receive millions and millions of dollars in contracts from the U.S. government, having referred these security firms and this law firm to the Bank of America to pull off a similar plot to the one that the U.S. chamber appears to have been trying to pull off. Will anybody bring accountability here? Will anybody do anything about it? Apparently, the Republicans in the U.S. Congress won't. Little surprise, given how much money they receive from the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the largest lobbying firm in the world, largest right-wing lobbying firm in the world. One man is trying to bring some accountability. He joins us now, Congressman Hank Johnson, Democrat from the Georgia's 4th District, actually Mike Malloy's district. He has been trying, fighting to get some accountability here. He's a member of the Judiciary and Armed Services Committee, and he is taking the lead in trying to bring some justice in this U.S. chamber plot matter. Congressman Johnson, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thank you, sir. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing okay. I'm doing better now that you're here because, in truth, sir, first thing I need to do, Congressman, is thank you. Is thank you for taking the lead on this because this has, you know, as I believe you know, has affected me and my family personally. And I've been sitting around for the last month or two saying, is anybody going to bring any accountability? So, thank you, sir, right off the bat for at least trying to and joining with your colleagues on the Democratic side of the House to have some hearings on this matter in the U.S. House.
Well, I appreciate that, and I'm here to serve the people of this country, not just the rich and the powerful, but those who may be a little unpopular, such as yourself, with the mainstream media and the governmental officials that are involved, and we are here to serve the people, and so I'm proud to be a proponent for openness, transparency, and justice for all.
Well, I wish there were more like you. You said in a statement, I believe it was this week, that, quote, this scandal cries out for a full investigation. We need aggressive action to defend American citizens in the cyber domain. So what can be done at this point now that your Republican colleagues have said they will not hold an investigation on this? What can be done at this point to bring pressure to bear on either Congress, either your colleagues on the Republican side or on the Department of Justice to take action and do their job here, Congressman?
Well, I'm hopeful that someone in Congress on the other side of the aisle will decide that this issue merits further scrutiny. I don't see how anyone could think that it does not. Someone has to look into this, and if I have to do it by myself, I'll do the best that I can. And eventually, one way or the other, we've got to get to the bottom of this situation. We're talking about basic liberty. We're talking about constitutional rights that people have that may have been usurped or that may have been in the process of being usurped by this nefarious scheme that would invade the privacy of individuals such as yourself. It would, be an effort to discredit and damage and ultimately destroy the credibility of people who are exercising their First Amendment rights to discuss issues and to disagree with those who hold the purse strings and those who are calling the shots. And when we start losing our privacy to those who would use government funds to discredit Americans who are simply exercising their freedom of speech right, I think we've reached a very low point, and we've reached a point where we cannot let this go without getting to the bottom of it.
Which is, of course, my feeling, but your colleague, Congressman Lamar Smith, Republican of Texas, he is now the chair of the House Judiciary Committee. He has declined to pursue the matter. He said in a statement, "While I appreciate Mr. Johnson's letter, it is the role of the Justice Department to determine whether a criminal investigation is warranted." Is he correct? Isn't the Judiciary Committee exactly the appropriate place to look at this matter and then ask the DOJ for an official investigation?
Yeah, I think this is certainly a matter for government oversight. Through the Judiciary Committee, which deals with our constitutional rights, And also the government investigation subcommittee, or excuse me, committee, the investigations and oversight committee certainly has some that this falls right into their bailiwick, and it's armed services as well.
Well, it
and,
should. It should.
Lastly, intelligence. All four of those committees share some jurisdiction on some of the issues arising from this this very important scandal that is unfolding.
It certainly seems like it should, Congressman Hank Johnson. But do you still hold out hope that one of these committees will say, yes, we will be looking into this matter?
Yeah, I do. I think if we can kind of keep the pressure going, I believe that as more people begin to understand what was being planned and what may have already occurred through some other combinations of government contractors and private industry, when people understand the stakes for our freedom, I think the public will demand that Congress investigate this. And this is not a partisan issue. It's really not a Republican or Democratic issue. This transcends politics and goes to the heart of what this country is all about, and that's our constitutional liberties.
Well, you would think so, and I would hope so, but given the amount of money that I know the Chamber of Commerce passes out on Capitol Hill, the huge majority of it going to Republicans, I get the sense that they would rather do anything but talk about this issue, which points a direct arrow back to the scheme that was being a $12 million scheme that the U.S. Chamber of Commerce appears to have been planning. Congressman, I have to get to a quick break. Are you able to stick through the break here? Because I got a few more questions I'm dying to ask you.
I can.
Thank you, sir. We're speaking with Congressman Hank Johnson, Democratic congressman from Georgia's 4th District, about the insidious U.S. Chamber plot to use terror tools against U.S. citizens, including yours truly and my family. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Much more straight ahead. Please stay with us.
Georgia, Georgia, the whole day through. Just an old sweet song.
Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike today. We are speaking with Congressman Hank Johnson, Democrat from the Georgia's 4th District. Delighted to have him here for just a few more minutes, speaking about this insidious, invidious U.S. Chamber plot to use tools developed for the war on terror against the U.S. Chamber of Commerce's perceived enemies, people like SEIU, U.S. Chamber Watch, VelvetRevolution.us, and, of course, unfortunately, me, myself, and even my family, incredibly enough. All right, Congressman, have you spoken with anyone on the Senate side where it might be a little bit easier to bring a full investigation in the Judiciary Committee over there, since the Democrats still have the majority over there?
Yes, we have reached out to a number of senators, and their staffs have reviewed the situation. And so far, we have not had anyone who has decided to take this up. But we're going to continue to search for a true patriot in the Senate who understands these issues and what it means to our future as Americans. And hopefully someone on the Senate side will decide to take this thing up.
I hope so, and I'll ask you before we go how we might be able to help. But I know that you asked, you sent letters this week or last week to the Department of Defense, the Department of Justice, the Department of Homeland Security, asking them for the contracts that these three security firms, HB, Gary Federal, Palantir, and Barrico, had with the U.S. government to determine if they were allowed to use the tools that they developed in the war on terror with federal taxpayer dollars, if they were allowed to use them. Those same tools privately, whether it was against U.S. citizens or anybody else. Have you received those contracts, and have you been able to make that determination if that was included in there?
No, we have not received the contracts as of yet. We gave them time to respond to the letter, and in addition to those that you named, also the Director of National Intelligence was sent a letter. And I believe that one way or the other, we're going to get these documents. And I'm hopeful that one of the, or that the Justice Department, someone will forward those documents to us, and then we can tell what kind of work that these three security contractors were doing for the government, and whether or not their contracts prohibited them from using those tools developed at taxpayer expense on the taxpayers. And if it did, I think that's something that needs to be corrected contractually. And also, I think that we certainly should look into whether or not our current laws are expansive enough to get at this kind of misconduct. And I'm alleging that there's probable cause to believe that there is misconduct. I don't want to jump to a conclusion that there has been misconduct, but certainly this is a situation that merits further inquiry so that we can make sure that our laws are sufficient to prevent and to punish any misconduct that would ensue from mixing government with private business using taxpayer money to enhance private business. It's just such an incestuous situation that is being discovered.
Congressman Hank Johnson, I really appreciate the work you're doing on this. I'm up against a hard break, but thank you for your time, and let us know how we can help, sir.